Hello to the everyone. This is John Swearingen coming to you live. Not from New York, like you used to hear that live from New York. It's Saturday Night Live, and then you hear this da 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 with the applause and everything like that. Well, this is just live from John's little, I guess, man cave, you would say. Thought I'd just talk a little bit since I guess I missed it a couple weeks ago, but here in America we celebrate an interesting holiday, and you know, it's not like what you would celebrate, you know, when it's one of these celebrations that is worldwide, like Christmas or Easter. But it's kind of another unique interesting holiday that, again, not a lot of people know about. And again, I've learned about it last, you know, I don't know, 3-4 years now, but I've had to, you know that it shows up on the calendar every year. But this would be a day that is known as Memorial Day. And again, you'll get what I can give you, a brief little history in this little podcast today, no matter how long it will be. And all these podcasts are usually between 35 and 40 minutes long, but this may be a brief to the point, you know, like little podcast. But this one will be kind of focusing more, I think, with Memorial Day, and a day that really gets kind of confused with another holiday, which happens kind of end of the year. And again, this is on the 12-month Gregorian calendar that really the world follows, you know, year by year. I don't need to really get the history, because you can just look up the Gregorian calendar, since nowadays we have some called the World Wide Web or the Internet. Yay! And we think we can find everything on it, and it will solve our problems and give us solutions when we can't think of anything, that our brain doesn't like. What am I supposed to do? I'll type it into a search engine like Google or Yahoo and see the answer. It's not really the best way to look at it that way. But other than that, the other holiday I'm thinking of that gets confused with Memorial Day, which is always late May, and it's always the last Monday in May. And sorry there's no little fun music I would like to play, because it would have been fun to play, like the, because it was kind of, this happened after the American Civil War, and you need to go study that. And again, there's great Civil War websites, and yes, it did happen in the 1860s, when people say, maybe it didn't happen, and what's all this stuff about the states breaking away, you know, the southern states from the northern states, and really there was slavery. But, you know, we're not going to get into that today, because I'm going to hope that all you listeners out there will be open-minded and search for this yourself. Yay! Well, to that point, the other day that gets confused with Memorial Day is Veterans Day. And I don't need to get into that, because that's kind of something that happens in November. And that's connected really with the end of a very tragic and horrific war that happened in Europe. Mostly in Europe, there were some areas that were maybe, you know, in Russia too, but mostly Europe. And then there might have been some, you know, some other, you know, areas throughout the world. Never happened here in the United States of America. But we sent troops over there to go fight for probably about a year and a half, when it had been going on for the last probably, 3 years or so prior to that. But that's kind of what we remember, and it's called Veterans Day, and it used to be called Armistice Day in November, which is November the 11th in 1918, because that's when the war ended, and I guess the powers that be that got, you know, got clobbered, I guess you'd say, or beat up, would be the Germans and the Austrians, and anybody else who was with them, and so forth. But other than that, you know, then the other countries, or not say they call them allied countries, but, you know, there were United States and Europe, like, you know, England and France and Italy and Russia and possibly Spain. And then I guess countries like China and Japan, I think, were all together. And they, again, were going in, you know, and Canada, I guess, got involved in that too, besides the United States, who came over. much later. But that's just another time. But again, you could always, you know, because of the internet, you can always just look it up and see what, you know, what it's all about. But that gets kind of confused with Memorial Day. But going back to Memorial Day, it actually was started again and set aside on May 30th by a gentleman, again, you can look this up much later, named John A. Logan, who was a Union general, and I believe he was from, I think, Illinois, and he had fought in the Civil War and survived it, which makes sense because I guess if he you know, kind of put this out there, promoted it or whatever in 1868, and I think it was done like in early May of 1868, which is when the first observance was. And even though I think he did around the 3rd, 4th, or 5th or so, or 6th of May of 1868, a couple years after America's really most horrific war that they fought, which was a civil war, which many countries have had to all deal with that. But Mr. Logan kind of got the idea. And then there are stories that really, I think he got the idea from his wife, who just happened to think be visiting, I think, the South, when it was in like, possibly like in, I don't know if it's in Georgia or South Carolina or North Carolina, I think about in 1866. And I don't know if she was just visiting friends or what, but I think had been around, I think, in one of those southern states of, I don't know what city it would have been in, and realized that they were like, I guess, widows of, you know, of the Civil War soldiers, and they would go and actually, I guess, either put on the graves of their fallen, you know, their husbands, or if they had brothers or fathers or anybody in the family that they knew, or family friends or whatever, they would get together. And it was really, I guess, not say it was the widows that would do it, but they would go and they say they, not sprinkles, kind of what did we say, but they actually laid flowers there, whether they did sprinkle them or not, you know, with bits of, you know, flowers, possibly with a stem. But they could have actually even made like a wreath and laid a wreath there. But this was done then, and I think it was kind of more in the South, and I guess they were calling it more, not to say it was a Confederate version of it, but for the South, but then it had been probably a year after the war. But that kind of thing, I guess, got the inspiration, I guess, from Mrs. Logan to give it then to Mr. Logan, Mr. John A. Logan, if we can remember. I'll say there's a John A. Logan, junior or not, I can't remember. He had some children, he may have had a son, but I'm not, you know, you can look that up yourself. But other than that, then Mr. Logan kind of got that inspiration from what his wife had told him about. And I guess by May of 1868, I guess he was getting an idea, maybe I should. So I know somehow, and I don't believe he was in Congress at the time, but I think he did go to Congress, I think, much later. But at the time, he did promote, I guess, to see about getting some kind of a something, whether he, if he was in Congress, he either put a bill out there to get it, you know, to get it put out there, maybe that maybe by end of the month they could observe it. And it was set for May 30th to let that we should like take time to remember our war dead and go and actually decorate their graves. So actually, it got set up, and then May 30th became the date, and May 30th came around in 1868. And what a really kind of, I don't know if it's, I'm not going to probably just pronounce the word right. Is it tumultuous or whatever? Or what kind of, I guess, craziness and oddness that was going around in 1868? Because that was kind of the year that you actually was kind of first, it was a presidential election year. And again, that's where, again, it was once again, it was just white males who were voting. I don't think at that time if they were allowing the free blacks to vote, possibly not. I know in the South they probably were not. North, possibly. But other than that, but that was a big election year. And we had some candidates out there were out of our two parties, but then there was always, you know, a third party that was kind of popped its head out and said, "Hey, here I am. I'm going to kind of tell you if I can go against you two other parties," which would be the, you know, Democrat Party and Republican Party, or vice versa, Republican Party and Democrat Party. But other than that, that was kind of a big thing going on. A really big major thing that was going on was what happened the, you know, previous year in 1867, to then bring on 1868, but then in 1868, and the members that were in the House of Representatives, I think a lot of them were Republicans, and we had a Democratic president, and you're going, wait a minute. I said, in 1865, we had brought in a president who was a Republican, and so why is 1868? Well, you have to go back those couple of years and know that the Republican president, beginning of 1865, was a tall man from Illinois named Abraham Lincoln, who was a lawyer, and got himself elected in 1860. And he went through his term, a very, again, I guess tumultuous, if I'm saying it correctly, and crazy 4 years, because not to say really no other president probably had to deal with this, even though there were previous, I think, areas where I guess we got involved with other wars, but this was kind of a war that was dividing us here in the United States at the time. If you don't know the history real quick, Abraham Lincoln, by age 65, in the inauguration day, which is always in January, but back then it was in March, early March. There's a long history of that that you can just get online and go to the internet, yay, to see if you can find what you're looking for. But try to even look for books too to find some good sources too, besides the internet. But other than that, he got in there for a second term, and he only was there for about maybe a month and a half, and then he gets assassinated by a stage actor named John Wilkes Booth. We won't go there, but his vice president then became president, who was a Southerner, who was on Lincoln's ticket in 1864 to kind of make it the Union ticket to kind of, you know, it's still Republican, but bring on a Southern Democrat, and so he put him on the ticket, and then it became Andrew Johnson, who was the gentleman from Tennessee, a Southerner, who had been a former military governor. But by 86, he then took over, and then Johnson just did some things that he thought he should have been doing, where he did kind of follow Lincoln's playbook for what he should do to, you know, now that the war was ending at that time in April and May of 1865. But just some really odd things happened between now and then. And then by 68, the radical Republicans that were in the House of Representatives, and always when there's an opposing party, I think in the House and possibly Senate, I think if they see what the current president's doing, I guess they do want to step up and say, "Hey, we want to grab him by the horns and kind of turn the other way, because we're not going to have him go that one way." So there was a big battle that led to a impeachment trial, and so that's what was really going on too, besides the election. Well, this idea that Johnny Logan had, who was the general, but now he was a civilian again, and kind of, you know, again dabbling in politics to get this happen, you know, get this, you know, put out there about let's remember our war dead from the previous war. So this all comes about with an order that he put out there, and I don't have that number because I think it was like some kind of number with the, you know, with the order number that he for putting it out there. And I believe maybe he was in Congress at the time as a member of the of House of Representatives, but he got put out there end of the year. He made it May 30th, and from then on we've been celebrating this day to remember our war dead. It just has gotten over the years by the 20th and now 21st century that we kind of push into, no matter what our media tells us, every time this day comes, that we want to mix both the current veterans who are not in, you know, that are current veterans who are still living with us from previous wars, over anybody in the military, that we got to focus on them, and that's fine when you need to. But this is more for the people who died, I guess, on the battlefield, no matter where it was, from all our wars we've been involved in. So we have to remember all who have died in battles, even prior to the Civil War. And so that got set up, and they actually called it Decoration Day. So I guess different areas were celebrating, I guess, when that came about. And since this was done in Washington, D.C., right across the Potomac River was an area called Arlington, Virginia. And it had been previously, about 4 or 5 years before, had been set aside and dedicated to make it a cemetery to the war dead, which becomes a military cemetery. And so I guess that's actually the first time they actually have Memorial Day. Actually, there's a memorial actual service, and so, where if a president can be there, doesn't mean that the president has to be there all the time, but if the president can be there, but then it becomes a day to remember and set aside that, that we need to remember our war dead. And so there's ways to go back and look in time, maybe in a newspaper that gives description. And they did have, Andrew Johnson did not go because he had just found out the following month that he was acquitted because of how the votes were made by the senators. And he got so close, but he did get acquitted, where then he did not get impeached and removed from office. So he's the first one in history when it comes to impeachment history. So I guess he did not get involved in the month of, I guess, this new way of, I guess, doing services at that cemetery. But then I guess other places, I guess in the north, did this. And then I'm sure maybe some of the southern states who are now coming back into the Union, if some of them had decided to go ahead and actually have a service too, where they actually had an actual service with somebody speak, whether it was a politician or not, or maybe a minister or something speak. But they actually had an actual Memorial Day service program, at Arlington Cemetery in, May 30th of 1868. And again, they called it Decoration Day. I think it stayed that way till sometime in the early days of the 20th century, whether it was after 1901 or 1902 or 1903 or so, that I guess maybe then it changed and became Memorial Day, because again, we were remembering and memorializing, I guess, the war dead. And it just kind of, went from then on. And then again, some presidents, again, from 1868 in late May all the way up to the current times where we're at in 2021, when this podcast is being recorded, that it's going to be, remember that, that sometimes a president will be there and sometimes they're not. And I've gone back in time and just kind of looked at some newspapers in the past where I didn't do every year, because again, some presidents were there and actually spoken. Actually, I think also what was interesting was, I think with what I remember reading once, I think for the one that was the first one ever observed in Arlington National Cemetery in late May of 1868, that I think two future presidents were there and one actually spoke. But at the time in 1868, being this is an election year, that one future president was to be the next president of the United States, which was Ulysses S. Grant, again, who was a former military man who was in the Civil War. And then he was in a previous war in the mid 1840s to late 1840s. That was not really a big popular war, but really no wars are really popular, you would think. At least you would think. You would think. But I digress and get back on the main road of what I'm talking about. And just say that, that he was there, but he did not, that he might have just came and observed, with other people. But the other one would have been a president, not after him, but a president afterwards, but it would have been James Garfield. And he was, I believe at that time, yeah, was a member of the U.S. Congress of the House of Representatives. I think he did some time where he might have been in the Civil War for a little bit. He was also in Congress back in the early 1860s, but I think by late 1860, I think he was back in office. And so he was there. And I think there's even evidence when you look at an old newspaper, if you look online or something, or you can get access to one somewhere, in paper format, or you find it online, that he actually gave a speech there. So that's two, again, former, two future presidents. Again, not sure why, really, I guess Andrew Johnson, whether he did not want to set the precedent of being the first one, but I guess you have two future ones who actually happened to be there, and one actually spoke. And then I think there were some others who spoke, like I said, a minister and so forth. But I would assume also other places, either in the north and south, and then whatever's going on in the west, when you had some states in the west, that maybe they would have observed it too, during that time in late May. But other than that, I think you still had, I guess, southern states like Virginia and North and South Carolina and Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi and I guess Tennessee and Arkansas and Louisiana. I guess they actually observed, I guess, maybe their own version. And I guess Texas was kind of really was part of the South too when the Civil War was going on. So I guess some places may have observed one that they may have done it a month or two before and had their own one they call the Confederate version that, again, I guess that John Logan's wife, I guess, actually had been there. But that's just kind of a basic idea of kind of what this piece on, which I should have put on the podcast a few weeks back or so. And it's interesting history. And again, like I said, from that time on to where we are currently, when it happens every year, I guess he's like a U.S. president, a current sitting U.S. president will be, will either be there in person, and somehow that they always would have a wreath whenever that, I don't know that really of the origins of the wreath, where they would have a wreath that's actually like on some kind of one of those kind of easel type things that had the three legs, and you usually kind of put a painting on there, I guess, where you're going to display it or you're actually going to paint the canvas, but something like that, that would be attached to a wreath, and then the current, I guess, U.S. president would either, who would be there, if they could be there in person, would actually go and put one by graves that later became, I think, and this happened, I think, after World War I with the Graves of the Unknown Soldiers, I think, which then I think first started with, I think, the World War II, so World War I soldiers, then it went World War II, and then with wars that came afterwards, like the Korean War, Vietnam War, and then I guess the other wars like the Desert Storm and one from the early 1990s, and then what we get into then the 2000s after 9/11. But I think then they try to even go backwards to maybe look at the Civil War and the Mexican War. And there was a war that we were sort of part of by 1899 or something, right in there, right before 1900, which was, I guess, that we kind of went against, I guess, and fought with Spain, and it was called the Spanish-American War again. That lasted, I think, less than a year. But other than that, I guess any soldier going backwards after World War I, I guess that they were able to find a body of an unknown soldier and put them. And they have a place now where it is an Arlington that you can visit every year. And actually, again, I don't know the origins, but they have a couple of soldiers who just daily, I guess, I don't know if they do it at night, but they daily just kind of go back and forth with their rifles and their, I guess, as a, on the side of them when they're walking back and forth and so forth. But there's a lot of origins that I don't have the full origins, but I know the history there. It started, I guess, with John Logan getting this idea through his wife, and then actually setting a day up where that then became May 30th. And so by 1971, somehow something was, I think, put in place a few years before, I think through Congress voting on it, to actually make it work and make it like a long weekend where you'd have the weekend after you got off Friday from work, that, and it was, I guess, for federal workers, where I guess that it went to, I guess, state workers and then county and city workers and so forth. But I think mostly it really went into effect for the federal workers who work for the United States government, and they at least would get that previous Monday off, and that would then become Memorial Day, and it was always the last Monday in May instead of it being like May 30th. And so sometimes May 30th could be the last day of the month of May, or maybe the 31st, so it's, right around the same time when it may fall, the exact day. But it's been around for over 150 years now, and we should thank John Logan for doing this and what he did. And it's great that it was set up to remember, again, the fallen soldier, man or woman, either, both, because with women then coming into the military later. I guess there were women who were involved in World War II, because there, I think, were two groups of women. I think there was the WACS and the WAVES, and that's WACS and then WAVE, and I think the WACS came from the Army and the WAVES came from the Navy. So not say they weren't, they might have not been in, battle, but if they died, and then anything that happened, like maybe same group was maybe in excuse me, same group was in the Korean War or Vietnam, that with things changing of then letting women actually in the military, which I'm sure by when we had the Desert Storm in the early 1990s, that I guess there were women in the military. So other than that, but even remembering even the fallen women who've died too, besides the men. So that gives you kind of a rundown, an idea about kind of like, what Memorial Day is. If it started out in late May of 1868, through the inception of a man who wanted to remember the war dead all throughout the United States, and getting the ideas from his wife, and then going forward and having it happen from there, and then it going from there to what it's become today. So hope you learned a lot, and do some searches on I guess on Memorial Day, which was again originally Decoration Day, putting flowers or wreaths at the grave of the war dead, and remembering them. And then even at Arlington, even started at the same time in late 1868 in May, and how they've had observances ever since then. Of course, I guess for 2020, we're dealing with the COVID pandemic, and that was a big mess, which we're kind of coming out of now for late May into June now, with the summer here of 2021, that things are getting better. And there was a program that did happen, I guess, this year in late May under a new president. However, it's something that goes back a long ways, and I think just we all need to remember its history and know what happened. So, hope you enjoy this interesting bit of history, and with maybe more to come from myself, John Swearingen, here at the History Room. In my un, I guess, location, unknown, I guess, man cave, wherever it is. But other than that, have a great one. Have a great summer. And I know coming up on June 14th is, we should remember that. It's not July 4th, which will be also around the corner soon. That's our Independence Day, to remember about the men who, met, I guess, in the, late, probably in the May and the summer months until it happened in July. But we should thank them for then getting our independence from England when that was involved during a war we have it. But other than that, Flag Day is a day that happened a year after the document, the Declaration of Independence, that came about. But it's a day a year later on June 14th that was set aside at the Continental Congress to remember that we actually have a united flag. So we need to remember our American flag too, which is very something we need to be thankful for in this country. But other than that I just end that with that little piece, and that's coming up if anybody hears the podcast soon. But hope everybody has a great summer, and hope come back soon, and I'll have another podcast for everybody, and get out, enjoy some time now that I think we're, I guess, getting that herd immunity, I guess, again. And if you have time, get out to, if you have time, to the beaches or lakes, if you have time, or if you have time to travel, go see historic sites besides visiting family and so forth. But you have a great summer for 2021, and being hopeful for what the future brings for us, no matter how our politics is every day, because that's always a big mess. But that's how American government is. It's, we've got to have politics to keep ourselves running. But all we can do is just pray that the right laws happen daily. Well, everyone have a good one, and we'll take care.